For this morning's reading, let's turn to the book of Matthew and read from chapter number 18, beginning with verse number 21. Matthew 18, beginning with verse number 21.
Nađene da se čita iz Svetog Evanđelja po Mateju, 18. glava, od 21. stiha i nadalje. 18. glava, Sveto Evanđelje po Mateju.
Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told their lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. The psalmist has written, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Our Lord, in his graciousness and in his great love and compassion that he has for his creation, all mankind, has forgiven us our iniquities, our sins. He has shown us his love, and that has made a big difference in our lives. It has allowed the peace of God to usher in, and that we would no longer feel any condemnation, but that we know that our iniquities have been removed from us because our Father loves us. And so the psalmist then writes, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. He has forgiven us of much. And so as we read through the scriptures, we see this truth brought forth that God has forgiven unto us much more than we would ever have to forgive anyone else. And he has blessed us richly with this peace that comes from him and from him alone into our very hearts. Because he has forgiven us. And we know now the importance of forgiving one another as we have read this chapter here together this morning. We read here that Peter came to the Lord and he thought, How oft shall I, he asked the question, How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Peter had this expectation that that was a large number. If I forgive my brother six times when he sins against me, again, that's not a light thing to be sinned against. This is something that's heavy. And so Peter asks, if he sins against me, if he does this great thing against me, how oft shall I forgive him? Should I do it seven times? Again, him thinking that that's a very large number. Usually we think, well, three times and you're out. and he would more than double that and say a number like 7. But Jesus responds to him and says, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. To forgive in large amount and in large quantity to our brother who would sin against us. And so he's speaking here again the importance of this great Christian fundamental virtue of forgiveness one toward another. Knowing the benefits of the Lord. Knowing that we should bless the Lord because he has forgiven unto us all our iniquities. And so he brings forth this parable of an unforgiving servant, one who was very indebted. And the Lord Jesus used this method of teaching, of bringing forth a doctrine of his Heavenly Father to us, that we would understand this. He brings it forth by these stories, by these parables, because through a story or through a parable, these truths or these principles, this doctrine, is indelibly written in our hearts and in our minds. We don't lightly forget it. We remember a principle through a story very well. And so he brings forth this parable, and he teaches them, and he teaches us of this unforgiving servant and the detriment that was to him because of his unforgiving heart that he had. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. There was a time now where this king is going to go back now and take an account. Is there anybody who owes me anything? And let's make right the accounts that he would have. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Again, as is often said when this chapter is read and when this parable is read, is that that is an extremely large amount of money. Extremely large amount of money. There was nothing small about this. And so this king, he realizes, wow, this is a very large amount of money. And so he begins to reckon, and he began to reckon, and one was brought, but for as much as he had not to pay, this servant who racked up this large debt, he had as not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. This was the law. This was the heartlessness of the law. He could be sold, his wife could be sold, his children could be sold, his possessions could be sold, and the payment would be made. Human trafficking was an acceptable resolution to this debt that this man owed. That was the heartlessness of the law. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And so the Lord asked that of this man. And so this servant, this man, he falls down before him and he worships him and saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. He had a desire. I'll make this right. I'll pay. Just give me a chance. Have mercy with me and I'll do it. Even though it was an extremely large amount, I'm not sure how it would be possible to garner wages as of a salary to repay such a large amount. Probably likely not possible, but yet he made a commitment that if he had patience with him, that this servant would pay it all back. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. He was moved with compassion. This is what moved this king. It was compassion that moved him. It wasn't like, well, no, this is a large amount. I need the full amount. He was moved with compassion. He loosed him and forgave him the debt. Forgave him the debt. This servant must have been extremely elated to know that these 10,000 talents he no longer had to repay. It was gone. This king just simply forgave it. So we have to consider that the king was still out this 10,000 talents. He was still out that amount of very large amount of money, but he forgave that. He forgave him that debt. But he still felt that debt. He still felt it. It was still going to be an absence in his accounts, but he forgave him that debt. Again, this servant should have just been extremely thankful for this liberation that he is feeling and that's just been given unto him as he's experiencing this blessing of being forgiven. It says, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Such a tragic event here that happens. This verse should have read, if it was proper, should have read not but it should have read, and the same servant went out and found a fellow servant which owed him 100 pence, and he loosed him and he forgave him that debt. That's the way that verse should have been written. That's the way it should go in life, is that, oh, I am just elated. I have been forgiven of 10,000 talents, and you owe me this small amount, this little bit of 100 pence, not very much at all. I easily forgive you, easily. No problem. Just forget about it. I've just been forgiven 10,000 talents. That's the way it should have gone, but it didn't. He was heartless. He became violent, grabbing his fellow servant by the throat and saying and demanding that payment be made. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay him, I pay thee all. Same exact wording that this very indebted servant used to his Lord. This fellow servant comes to his to this very indebted servant and says the same exact words, but he wasn't moved with compassion. He was not moved with compassion. He had no pity in his heart. And he would not, but went out and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. The fellow servants recognized this for what it was. It was pitilessness. It was heartlessness. It was inappropriate. They recognized it for what it was. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, he was having a conversation with Simon the Pharisee, and he says to Simon, Simon, there was a creditor that had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 100 pence. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, which one would love him more? And Simon rightly judges, says, I suppose that he to whom more was forgiven, most was forgiven. And Jesus says, thou hast rightly judged. This very indebted servant here in this story should have been as the one who was forgiven so much that he would love so much, but he wasn't. But he wasn't. Simon the Pharisee recognized what was right. These fellow servants of this very indebted servant recognized what is right. They were very sorry. How could this man do this? He was forgiven of so much. So much. How he racked up that debt week after week, month after month, year after year. He was racking up all that debt toward his Lord. And now his Lord just forgave him. It should have been the year of jubilation. It should have been, he should have had great joy and great gratitude in his heart. But he didn't. And so his fellow servants were very sorry when they saw that. And they thought that, well, their Lord needs to be aware of this. And so they went and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Called him a wicked servant. The Bible says that the men of Sodom were wicked before the Lord. They were wicked men. And we think of Sodomites as these very wicked people. But here the Lord is calling this servant wicked on the same plane as these Sodomites because he lacked compassion, because he lacked pity, because he had forgotten of how much he was forgiven of himself. He became wicked before his Lord. And so the question was asked, shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servants, even as I had pity on thee? Shouldn't that have been reciprocated? Shouldn't that have also been a part of what came from you? The compassion that I showed you? And so his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. Such a sad state, so sad for this very indebted servant, who was forgiven of all, was liberated, had this freedom now, no more condemnation, no more bankruptcy, but now all that came back to him. All that debt came back to him until he should pay it in full, and he was delivered to the tormentors. Because of his wicked state, because of his heartlessness, because of his lack of pity, because he wouldn't forgive a debt. And so Jesus here says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. This is the justice of God. This is of who God is, that he is asking us that we would have a very sincere heart in our forgiveness toward others as they would hurt us. This is the commandment of God. This is what Jesus here is teaching us, is that we from our hearts would forgive every brother their trespasses against us. As we go through life, we will certainly sin against someone, and someone will certainly sin against us. That's what life is. This happens, and it happens frequently. And we are exposed to this, that we hurt others and others hurt us. This is life. This is how it goes. And perhaps I'll share a story that I've shared before, but it drives home that point of that we hurt others and others hurt us as well. There's a young brother from the sister church who was driving his car through an intersection. He had the green light, and another driver hit him on the side and caused his life a great deal of grief. There was a lot of inconveniences that were placed upon him. I'm not sure of all the details. I don't remember. But because this person had hit this brother, he was bitter. He confessed that he was bitter. I'm just driving through, and I'm doing my own business, and this happens to me. He confessed that he was bitter about what happened to him. Not long later, he was driving down the road himself, texting his wife, and he hits an Amish buggy and kills two of the children inside the Amish buggy. The Amish family gave him much grace. They forgave him, and they showed him love, even though he felt absolutely horrible about what had just transpired. And he went through that, and he felt that, and he now recalls, and he's come to his senses that I was so wrong in having bitterness against being hit when I was shown so much grace when I did the same thing. And yet the impact of my act was much worse. So it will be in our lives that there will be times when we offend and others offend us. Ours is to show that forgiveness, and that forgiveness needs to come from the heart, and that forgiveness needs to be sincere, as Jesus says here, that we would from our hearts forgive every brother their trespass. In those first two verses that we read, 490 times that we would forgive those that would sin against us. We need to develop compassion, pity, and mercy toward those that have hurt us. That needs to be developed continuously. Compassion, mercy, and pity toward those that have hurt us. And then when we do, we will be healed. And we will have that peace in our hearts when we do. The baggage of that hurt will be gone. We won't have that anymore. When we can develop mercy, compassion, and pity, forgiveness, overlooking, not holding anything against anyone. There is a great, great blessing in that. As a hurt comes, if we're not careful, that hurt can lead to a downward spiral that is devastating. The hurt, if we allow a hurt to come to us and we take a carnal approach to a hurt that comes our way, that hurt can lead to anger, And that anger then can lead down into resentment, and then that resentment down into bitterness, and then that bitterness down into hatred, and then that hatred leads nowhere else but to destruction. We need to be careful that we develop a sense of compassion, pity, and mercy toward those that would sin against us. That God would be faithful to us and show unto us his mercy, and that we would be reminded of that often. James speaks of mercy versus judgment. He says, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that showed no mercy." If we're out to condemn somebody because they hurt us, we will have no mercy. We will have judgment as well. If we condemn others, Jesus says, we will be condemned. And so, if we have judgment without mercy, he shall have judgment without mercy that showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Mercy is greater than that of judgment. When we show mercy, that makes the whole environment so much better for our heart, for those around us, and for those that are in our environment. It makes that just a beautiful place to be when we can have this mercy and this compassion shown. But when we don't allow this mercy and compassion to be shown, we make it very difficult for our hearts. It become very heavy, and then also for those that are around us as well. But mercy rejoiceth against judgment. James also writes, "Grudge not once again one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." Grudge not. Don't grudge one against another. It's only going to lead to condemnation. That's what that will lead to when we grudge one against another. Again, there's great beauty, great joy, great peace, great healing when we can develop and over and over again in our lives compassion, mercy, and pity one toward another. There's a verse in Psalms, and I can't find it now, but it speaks about the forgiveness that God shows unto us. When we came to the Lord, we were in our filth. We had so much ungodliness before him. We were in that filth, and he came, and he loved us, and he took us into his bosom, and he forgave us all our iniquity as we called out to him. He forgave us that iniquity when we called out to him. This is what the Lord did in forgiving us those 10,000 talents. He has forgiven us of much. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that when we pray that we would forgive those that would trespass against us. And we need to always remember that the Lord will forgive us simply just as much as we forgive others. If we are very gracious and forgiving of others, the Lord will be very gracious and forgiving of us as well. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a very difficult thing to accept or to understand or to be aware of. There's a great penalty here that if we forgive not men their trespasses, our Heavenly Father will not forgive us our trespasses either. The Apostle Paul writes in Colossians, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath quickened us together with him, having forgiven you all transgressions." We were dead in our sins. We were filled with ungodliness. We were filthy before God. But yet he made us alive. He quickened us together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. He forgave us all our trespasses. All that we sinned against him, he has forgiven us of that. We are to be thankful unto him and be willing and ready to forgive, even as he has forgiven us and has made us to be clean. Again, our lives will be so rich and so blessed and so full of peace and full of healing when we can do that. And we give him honor and we give him glory. A beautiful expression of a believer is that the believer knows that though he's unworthy, he has been forgiven. He has been forgiven. And this same believer can easily forgive others as well. He can forgive others. It's a beautiful glow of the light of Jesus Christ in this noble virtue of forgiveness. It shows forth the light of Jesus Christ. I've been forgiven and I forgive. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. The Lord Jesus, we're so familiar, was there at the time of his crucifixion. He was whipped. He was spat upon. A crown of thorns was placed on his head. He was crucified. He was mocked. What was his response? Father, forgive them. That was his response. Let us have the mind of Christ likewise, that when we are hurt, when we are sinned against, when things go wrong for us, that we would simply have that graciousness, that fundamental Christian value of forgiveness, and simply have compassion, pity, and mercy. So, as we have been hurt, or as a time will come in our lives when we will be hurt, let's have that mind of Christ. And let's hear his voice as he would say unto us, shouldn't you also have pity on your fellow man, even as I had compassion on you? Amen.